Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to The Difference. In a world-first global filmmaking adventure, 6,000 influential difference makers from around the world are collaborating to make The Difference film and touch the lives of over 6 billion people.
If you are a difference maker and want to share your difference with the world, join us and become one of the 6,000 people who are making a global difference and opening humanity's heart. www.thedifference.tv. Enjoy today's show on The Difference Radio Network. Good morning, everybody. This is Dr. Robin Mills from sunny Australia. Welcome to people around the globe to The Difference Radio Network. I'm here today with Diane McCann, and she's been facilitating the Goddess Workshop Within for 26 years. She's a social entrepreneur who is inspiring, humorous, and incredibly committed to making a difference in the world. And today we're going to talk about, is this the year that we as women embody the sacred feminine and at the same time allow our men to embody their sacred masculine? I nearly said feminine then. They have a bit of both, of course. To honour the differences in each and to create space for all to live the life we were destined to live. Diane, good morning and welcome to you.
Good morning, Robin, and good morning, listeners.
So, Diane, I'd like to talk to you about the sacred feminine. What is the sacred feminine?
Well, I believe it's the parts of each of us. Interesting that in the beginning you said sacred masculine and you said I nearly said feminine.
Yes.
I truly believe every human being has that sacred feminine part of themselves, which is the part that is spiritually oriented. It's the part of us that knows that we are all one, the part of us that wants to make a difference on the planet, that understands that it's not okay for one person to have it. We all need to participate and be able to eat food every day. So in other words, hunger is not okay and cruelty is not okay, etc., etc. So I think it's the embodiment of the wholeness. That's a beautiful word, wholeness. The wholeness of each and every one of us.
And I think that's a really important thing that you're saying, Diane, that it's, you know, it's not about a narcissistic, totally self-absorbed time in the world. It's a time when you honour yourself and all people together as equal.
Absolutely. I think the 80s was the time of me, mine, and we have moved, you know. This is the epoch of the age of Aquarius, of course. And Aquarius is about we consciousness, as in you and me. Whereas before we were in an I time, you know, it was about me and I, whereas now it's we consciousness. And if we go back to the beginning of time, we were then in we consciousness, but we came from, this is Caroline Mace's thinking, that in the beginning we had that tribal belief. So in other words, if you and I were part of a tribe and you said, hey, I'm going to go to Hawaii, I would say, oh no, Robin, don't go. You have to stay part of the tribe. Whereas now we're in we consciousness on a higher level. And so what we're realizing is that everything, no matter how awful it looks through our little eyes sometimes with all the trauma that goes on the planet, but everything is perfect. And we are each in our perfect place. Like, you know, right now there seems to be so many people experiencing financial challenges, relationship challenges. And I know, you know, I've had a private practice for 40 years, so, you know, I've seen it all before, but it feels like it's predominantly happening a lot this year, with especially women saying, I want more. I want more. This is not enough. I'm bored out of my brain. You know, I need that spiritual stimulation. And of course, one of the things I see, because we run a seminar for men, seminar for women, and we also teach Tantra, and we bring in a doctor from the States who does a healing technique. So I see people from all walks of life. And, you know, what I see is that women in particular are the ones who are doing the leaving.
Doing the leaving, you mean?
In the relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's more predominant this year. Like, you know, I've had that many emails and that many phone calls from people who are, they've been together for 25, 30 years maybe, but they've done enough. They've had enough. They want their men to become more conscious. They want, I think that's what we all want. It's just that men have never been given that opportunity to explore their spirituality because they've always had to work. Whereas for many women, we've had a choice, you know. We have a choice to give birth or not give birth, to work full-time, to work part-time, you know, not to work at all, really. I mean, many women don't. And so we had more opportunities to explore, plus our basic nature draws us to that spiritual oneness that is possible through books, through seminars, through whatever. So it just fascinates me what I'm seeing, especially this year. You know, a lot of people thought last year was tough, but I've had a few people say, oh, if this is 2013, heaven help me.
Whereas I feel amazing about 2013, that we're easily able to manifest more easily than ever before our dreams.
Oh, I agree, Robin.
And I guess that's what you're saying. People are stepping away because they're manifesting to be around people who also want the same dream.
Yes. Yes, because if you've got a dream and you've been holding on to it for, you know, 5-10 years and it's not coming, so you're not manifesting it, then you've got to look at, well, why aren't I? What is that thing going on in my subconscious mind? In the Lifeline technique, we say we need to bridge the gap between the conscious and the subconscious so that we can literally live an intentional life. And there are so many women and men who don't, they live in a drudge, you know, and now it's that point where it's like the pimple that, you know, has been building under the skin and now suddenly, boop, it's out. And you've just got to find your courage. I think that's part of the sacred feminine, is the standing up. And I just wrote a newsletter, and one of the things I said in my newsletter was, I think I have never seen so many causes in my entire life. You know, you've now got that whole social media thing of causes. And, you know, I sign every one of them because I believe absolutely that the more voices who speak up for the atrocities and the pain that's on our beautiful planet and its inhabitants, the better things, the more things are going to change. But it's never been as predominant as it is this year.
Absolutely. I believe that you're right in that, Diane, that there are more causes everywhere and there are more people joining together to make a difference to the planet, to humanity, so that we're looking to make other people our equal. We're not looking to be, you know, to have third world countries and to have first world countries, but to reach out to people around the world and try to make their way of living the best it can be.
Absolutely. I mean, and it's everywhere. Everywhere I look, you know, I have some really dear friends in Bali, and I support a couple of orphanages in Bali. And these friends of mine, they just decided, because they live there and they know the villagers and they see the children, they've started this amazing project where people just pay $25 a month. And the child has to communicate with its sponsor once a month and let the sponsor know what they're doing. Now, some of these kids have to walk an hour and a half to get to an internet cafe to be able to write to their sponsor. And my friend was saying to me, you know, one of the sponsors wanted to buy one of the kids a laptop, but she said, this child is incredibly shy. And she said, we thought about it and we knew that if we allowed that to happen, then that child would never get out and socialise because he would spend all of his time, you know, on the laptop. So she said, we said no. Better that the child does the walking and communicates with people along the way. And I just think that's so beautiful. And they're just two ordinary, everyday people who just went, here's something that needs doing. Let's do it.
That's absolutely fantastic, Diane, isn't it? Such a beautiful story.
Go on.
When you talk about sacredness in these relationships, these are the sorts of things you're talking about, aren't they? Giving to people, but not just giving to people for the sake of people, but holding a space for them to be able to be the best version of themselves they can be, not telling them this is what you should do.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, the same for everyone everywhere, isn't it? You can open the door and you can share information, but you can't force your beliefs on them. You know, it's kind of like in the old days when they had missionaries, and it's like, you will believe what we want you to believe. I think the sacred feminine embodies the fact that each of us are completely unique, and we cannot impose our views on other people. All we can do is share what works for us, you know, like, this is what I've done in my life to get myself to where I am. And if I can support you in any way with some of my little bits of wisdom or knowledge, then you're welcome to them.
So how does one get in touch with their sacred feminine?
Well, I think the most important thing is listening. You know, you and I both know if we listen, if we still ourselves and we listen, we do hear those voices in our head. Most of us dismiss them or think we're going crazy, one or the other. But if we can listen to that part of ourselves that is saying, stop working so hard, that's my little voice, or, you know, go for a walk. And there's that part of us, especially women. You know, women are amazing, fabulous, all-encompassing creatures, but we do way too much, and we do take on way too much. And everyone that you speak to is basically exhausted. I truly think that the adrenal glands of most people on this planet are working at 1,000% overtime because we try to fit in too much into our day. You know, one of my friends said last night, wow, we just threw the television out on the weekend. We put it in the shed. And she said, for, you know, 3 nights, we played games with the kids. You know, to me, that embodying the sacredness of who we are is about, it's time we started, you know, eating healthily. It's fine to say, I only go to McDonald's now and then. It's like, in my opinion, no one should go to McDonald's. You know, Asheville in Portland, Oregon, they've closed down the Wendy's, they've closed down the McDonald's. Why? Because nobody goes there. Because all the people who live in that town are all conscious of what they put in their bodies. So I think embodying the sacredness means watching what you do with your body, as in what you put into it, how you treat it. Do you go for a walk every day? Just a walk, a 30-minute walk. I mean, if you can't afford 30 minutes, then, you know, heaven help us.
Mm-hmm. And it's, I guess, when you're doing that walk, it's how you're holding your mind and how you're holding your heart when you're in that space.
You know what we do, Robert and I, when we walk, we spend the first however long, like maybe the first 10 minutes, and we just talk about the things we're grateful for. And of course, I live on a dolphin marina, so I'm very lucky because I'm right on the water. Dolphins there most mornings. But, you know, even the seagulls, I mean, they have their place. So it's being grateful for everything. What are you grateful for, Robert? And he'll tell me, and then I'll walk along and I'll say, I'm grateful that, you know, look at that sky. Are we not lucky? So it is. It's that holding yourself in that place. And, you know, if you... That to me is the meditation. Not everyone, I've done TM since I was 17, but not everyone feels comfortable just sitting cross-legged. And to me, you can be in a meditation gardening. You know, you don't have to be, it's like praying, isn't it? You don't have to be in a church to pray. So I think it's, you know, being aware of those five basics of life, the food, the water, the exercise, you know, the owning your power. How do you do that? As a woman, a sacred feminine woman, you've got to learn to say no. When you've got 10,000 things happening and someone says, oh, can you have the kids for the afternoon? It's up to you to really go inside and go, you know what? I just can't do that this week. And saying no, because, you know, most of us, never mind women, most human beings, we want to be liked. And we don't want to say no to our friends, because if we say no, guess what? They won't like us.
It's so true. No is one of the hardest things that I had to learn. And especially as a psychologist, because every time someone rang crying, I'd put them in at the end of the day. And before I knew it, you know, I was going home at 11 o'clock at night for, you know, several times a week.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I was running myself into the ground and I wanted to cry.
Yeah. I absolutely agree. And we, you know, I see a lot of that with women who just overextend themselves and just take on too much. And I think that listening to ourselves and honouring that part of ourselves, so we need to honour it in our world with other people, especially in our world sexually. You know, I ask women, how many of you have made love when you didn't want to? And, you know, in 26 years, in many countries of the world, I've only ever had one woman put her hand up and say, no, I haven't. Everyone else says, yes, they have. Now, why do we do that? And I think we do it to keep our men quiet, to keep them happy. You know, one woman said to me, oh, you know, I wanted a new dress. And I'm thinking, are you serious? Like, hello? And I think for men, you know, that the whole sexual revolution is changing because of this sacred feminine. It's like for men to understand that they are the healer of their beloved, for a woman to understand that no man can take her where in her mind she thinks she wants to be. You know, look at 50 Shades of Grey. I mean, my God, what the bestseller of, you know, just about all time, it just walked off the shelves. And you look at it and you think, why? This is about a woman who's being subjugated, treated badly, beaten, whipped, whatever else. And, of course, in the end she turns him around. But what is it that made that so incredibly popular? And I think because women have this fantasy of what it's like to be this sexual being and how men can literally take you there. But there is no man who can take you there. The only one who can take you to that point of, you know, in Tantra we call it the wave of bliss, the 20-minute orgasm, is you.
Yes, yes. That's true. That's absolutely true. We must talk more about Tantra. Diane,
it's
great thing, Tantra, isn't it?
Well, it's a fabulous thing because what it does is it teaches men to come into their heart. You know, men get turned on really quickly and really easily. And so it teaches men to take that sexual energy from their genitals and bring it up to their heart. And it teaches women You know, and I'm not going to ask if you've ever done this, but I'll ask your listeners because I know what the answer is. You're in bed and you're making love and you're really there, and then suddenly you think, oh, did I get the meat out for lunch? There's not a man in the world who would think that. Men just don't go there. Men are focused on us. But we're like, la, 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 la. Oh, is that a baby crying? Not. I'm back to where you are. So Tantra teaches women to bring their energy from their head, from that busy, 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 busy mind, and bring it down into their heart. And if men have got their energy in their heart and we've got our energy there, then we can connect. Then we can create the intimacy, because it's no longer about genitals and heads.
Yeah, that's excellent, Diane. I really love that. Those shopping lists you could create in your head in a second.
Absolutely. And then you think, oh, God, is there something here? It's over.
Yes. Now, let's talk about the sacred masculine, because I don't know how much I know about the sacred masculine. Probably very little.
Well, I think it's just a term that has come into play of late. But I think the man who embodies his sacred feminine and his sacred masculine, they're the men who are coming to a place where they're willing to start to feel. They are willing to look at what is going on in the relationship. You know, they're starting to maybe they don't have to do seminars, but generally that's how people get there, you know, because they're so shocked. When I look at our men's workshop, you know, many of the guys who come are men who have been left, and they say they didn't even see it coming. So by embodying that part of them that does feel, all men feel, and they feel very deeply, they just don't speak about it the way we do. You know, when we're in upset, we cry, or we ring a girlfriend and we go, blah, 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 and then we feel better. But a man, you know, he'll go, he doesn't know how to deal with that part of himself. So I think embodying in full the sacred masculine is allowing a man to go into that place where he says, yeah, my heart really hurts because, you know, my partner left me, or my child died, or whatever. Because men have been so indoctrinated to be the strong male. You know, I'm here to protect you, look after you, whatever. And, of course, because they have never been taught to touch their hearts and to feel, allow themselves to think about what they truly feel. And if as children they expressed it, often they were told, oh, don't be such a wuss. You know, boys don't cry, men don't cry, all that whole genre of ridiculousness, if you like. Because, of course, you know, we have a saying in Man's Inner Journey, it's like men do cry. That's what makes them men. And when I see men who are emotional, you can't help but have your heart touched. So I think the sacred masculine is about allowing the men to feel what they need to feel in order to be who they really are as well. You know, not necessarily having to work at jobs that they hate. You know, over the last X amount of years, we've seen more and more men become house husbands. And the truth is that many men are phenomenal nurturers, and many women are lousy mothers, as in, you know, they love being a mother, but they'd much rather be out there working or doing whatever they do. I mean, I was one of those. Motherhood did not come easily to me at all. And my husband was very happy to be the one who raised the kids, and it worked.
That's great.
Yeah. But you know, you have to be in touch with that part of you, whether you be a sacred feminine or a sacred masculine, to honour that.
Yeah. Yes, to absolutely allow yourself to express, to feel and to know who you are at any given moment.
That's true. And, you know, not everyone is designed to be a mother, in inverted commas, or a, you know, corporate CEO or a whatever. And so many of us are dictated to by what our parents want. Well, I say when I see couples every seminar I do, I say the majority of people are not 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70-year-old adults. In everyone, there is this 3-year-old child.
Mm.
And, you know, the problem is when that 3-year-old child is stamping its foot and going, I'm not getting what I want, you know? It's like if the woman goes there and the man is conscious, then he will see that she's in her neediness and he will do whatever he needs to do to support that and vice versa. But the challenge happens when males and females go there together. And then, of course, it's like a boxing match or the silence treatment or the withdrawal of sex or, on a man's part, the withdrawal of money, because women usually play the sex game, men play the money game. You know, and those things are so archaic and so tribal. They're the things we need to actually bridge the gap in the subconscious mind so that we are not reacting. And the more conscious we become, the more of the sacred masculine and the sacred feminine we can embody. Mm. But you can't do that so long as you're being ruled by the past. And the truth is, my belief, and I'm not the only one, you know, I think it was, I can't remember who it was, but some really famous person said, what's her name? Clarissa Pinkola Estes, who's one of the world's leading therapists. She says 99.9% of the entire population are still children in adult bodies, and they come from dysfunctional families. And what we need to do is heal that dysfunction so we can step into the sacred feminine or the sacred masculine.
Mm. And for me too, the other thing that I've noticed is that we've started to honour our elders more. Or maybe I'm getting towards being an elder and I want to get a bit more. But I'm feeling that the knowledge that I've accumulated, to be able to pass that on now to my grandchildren. I mean, they're only 3, 2, and 1, but I already feel when I'm with them that I'm teaching them the things that I've learnt along the way in how to love and how to respect each other.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it is. I mean, in other cultures, the elders are revered in every tribe on earth except the white persons, you know. So it is that time to do that. I'm really lucky because my mum, she's now passed over, but she did my goddess seminar when she was 82 years old.
Wow.
In the last 3 years, I've had my 3 grandchildren, my 2 youngest grandchildren who were 16 and 19, just did it just last year, 6 months ago. And for me to be able to share what I know, like I look at that's 4 generations, because obviously my daughter's done it. It's like that's what it's about. It's about sharing the gifts that we've accumulated. And, you know, they're going to make their own mistakes anyway, but the gift is they'll hear our words and they will remember. If we teach, you know, I'm a storyteller, so I love telling stories. And I find that if I say anything to the kids, if I'm saying it from a perspective of, it would be better if you did this, doesn't work. But if I tell a story about somebody else,
yeah,
you know, and isn't that it? You know, it's the storytelling that's been handed down over the generations that has made the stories last.
Yes, and of course that's the Aboriginal way, isn't it, to tell the stories?
Absolutely, and their stories have been handed down generation after generation. And, you know, that is beautiful. If we can do that, you know, I'm 65, and so if I can share some of my wisdom with my grandchildren, and now I'm getting my goddess's kids coming through the course.
Oh, that's amazing, isn't it? That you've done a course for that long.
It's pretty. I kind of feel like the, you know, the girl guides or something. Around forever.
That's great.
But it is a blessing, you know, to see the changes in the mothers, that they then want their daughters, you know, to be able to respect themselves. Like, you know, Tantra has terminology for genitals, and, you know, a woman doesn't have a vagina. She has a yoni, which means sacred space. If we can teach our daughters and the daughters of the world that they have a sacred space, then it will literally change how they feel about themselves. You know, does that make sense?
It's love that word, yomi, for sacred space.
Yeah, instead of having all of the really ugly words that I used, I mean, you know, I look around and in the last few years we've seen so much overt sexuality from really young people, you know, 10, 11, 12-year-olds.
Yeah.
And to me that is incredibly sad. I mean, they see it on TV. They see it everywhere. There is nothing that is hidden anymore. And so they don't honour themselves. And because sex is such a thrown around word, you know, it's almost like, I was going to say about the kids in South Australia that I heard about a couple of years ago at a high school who do this terrible, terrible technique called the lipstick technique, which I don't even know that we want to talk about it on air, but...
No, I'm wondering about that.
Well, it's pretty awful, and basically...
Okay, let's not go there then.
Yeah. No, let's not. But, you know, the girls are doing it because the other girls are doing it.
Yeah.
So it's like if we could teach them that they are sacred, if we could teach them that that part of their body is theirs to honour, then I think there would, and boys too, then of course there would be less rape, less sexual violence, less making love when we don't want to. And that's what it's about, isn't it? It's about the women raising their sons to respect women.
Yeah.
And that's been very predominant with this whole Indian.
And of course there's a name for men as well. It's a lingam, isn't it?
Yeah, which means wand of light.
Wand of light. So sacred space and
wand of light.
Wand of light. I just love that. I really love that. That absolute respect.
Yeah. And to know that it's okay to honour that part of ourselves, because it is a sacred part of ourselves. I mean, women have been revered because they have a sacred space for eons in other cultures. It's time we started honouring it in the Western culture.
Mm-hmm. And so, Diane, in this, you know, when we're honouring ourselves and honouring our own sexuality, really at the same time, we're honouring the universe and the earth and the world, because when we honour any part of ourselves, we honour the whole.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, you walk on the earth lightly. When you have that sense of self-worth, and in the end, bottom line is self-worth, isn't it? It's that learning to love ourselves, no matter our shape, our size, our ethnic background, our whatever. It's honouring and loving who we are right here, right now, knowing that each of us is doing the best we know how to do with what we've got. And then we walk lightly upon the earth. We do the things that we know are right. We don't throw the litter out. You know, living where we do on the water, it's a dolphin marina. And it's just appalling, the people who just throw their plastic bags still in the year 2013. They just chuck them away and they finish up in the water, and, you know, the dolphins and the fish die and get them stuck in their throats, etc., etc. It's like when we honour ourselves, we honour, that's all-encompassing. That's about the planting trees, the picking up the rubbish. You know, John Denver is one of my absolute favourite mentors, and I met him once, and one of his sayings is one of my favourite quotes, and it is, it's not about what you do, it's actually about what you don't do.
Oh, it's not about what you do, it's about what you don't do.
Yeah, that's what makes the difference.
Mm.
When you see a woman hitting a child, you can't turn around and look the other way.
Mm.
When you see someone hurting an animal, you have to speak up. Yeah, when you see someone throwing out litter, you know, I can't help myself. When I see someone drinking Diet Coke, I have to go up to them and I talk to them about the aspartame that's in them. Because I look at it and I think, you know, I believe all people are basically good. I think the thing that is missing is education. And so ignorance of all types, shapes and descriptions, especially things around food, like giving your kids Diet Coke, you drinking Diet Coke, you know, all of the whole health issues that we have is about educating people. And that's what one of my passions is.
Mm. Well, Diane, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play some live flute on the radio. And when I come back, I'm going to ask you three things that a woman can do to move herself towards sacred feminine and three things a man can do to move towards sacred masculine. There you go. I'll put you on the spot with that.
You did.
I'll be back after I've played some flute for you. Flute on the radio.
Beautiful.
That's my flute made of Australian timbers and in the shape of American Indian flute.
Did you play it?
Yeah.
Oh, it was gorgeous.
Thank you. I just make it up as I go.
Amazing. You're a clever woman, my love.
Yeah. I could never do the same one twice, I don't think, because I don't know what it sounded like.
Well, it was divine, trust me.
Thank you. So what are three things? Let's start with the men.
Okay. So I think the first thing
to do today to move them towards sacred masculine.
I think the first thing they need to do is actually know that they are a beautiful, powerful, sacred man. For in the knowing comes the believing.
Mm.
I think the second thing they need to do is discover what they actually feel without suppressing. For instance, if they have an anger issue, deal with it. If they feel sad, feel it. But begin to express what they feel. And the third thing is literally to do the forgiveness. You know, I believe forgiveness is the greatest gift we can give to ourselves and others. And I just believe that forgiveness is the key to everyone's future. Love is the master healer, but forgiveness is the master eraser. To forgive is to be able to move into the present and then embody the sacred masculine in your future.
That's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So the men that are listening, that's our gift for you today. Now the women.
So I believe that for women, it is about finding a way, whatever that way is, to literally increase your self-esteem. This is a tiny bit off, but I don't know whether you know that women who can't orgasm, they've actually linked it to a lack of self-esteem as well. Mm. So I think everything for a woman is around our self-worth. And so, you know, I think women should look in the mirror every day. You know, we brush our teeth every day and we put on our makeup every day and do our hair. When you look in the mirror, women, really look into your beautiful eyes and say, "You're beautiful," with your name. And then say, "And I love you." You know, like really feel it, see it. And once you've moved past doing that with your face and just looking into your eyes, I think we all need to stand naked in front of a mirror and do the same thing. Now, when I suggest that, I see women who are gorgeous shudder. Stop shuddering, goddesses. You are all beautiful. It's time for you to get it. So number one, love yourself every day.
Beautiful.
Number two, honour exactly where you are and learn to say, "No, I'm sorry." Listen to what you need and then follow through on it. You know, your subconscious is a really interesting thing. If you say to yourself at night, "I'm going to remember my dream," and in the morning when you wake up, you don't do anything with that, like you don't write it down, your subconscious will say, "Well, I'm not going to give it to you again." So honour where you are, write it down, keep a journal, and keep honouring those steps that we make, the baby steps that move us towards honouring the sacred feminine. And unfortunately, my darling, I truly believe that the first thing for women is the same as the first thing for men, which is do the forgiveness. Do the forgiveness on everyone in your life, your parents, yourself, the men in your life who you believe have hurt you. And in that forgiveness, you can literally be in the present, in PTC, present time consciousness.
And I'd like to add one for both genders, which is hold the space for the other to be who they need to be.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you. So, yeah, holding that space, because it's important that you don't inhibit someone else's space and inhibit their growth. People should be allowed to be whoever they are needed to be at that time in their life.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, in our relationship, we have a contract that we renew, even though we're married, we renew our contract every 12 months.
Wow, that's amazing.
And we do. We do it every New Year's Eve. And every New Year's Eve, we write down what worked, what didn't work, what do we need to do to embody the sacred feminine and the sacred masculine within each other, but allow that to blossom within this relationship. And what we have a phrase, and it says, "I honour your search for truth wherever that takes you." And so for me, if I say I have to go to America or I have to go to India or I have to go to wherever because I want to go and do this seminar, Robert will never say no to me. He will say, "If that's what you need to do, that's what you need to do." And that's what you just said. It's honouring that space, holding the space for each of us to grow in our own ways. Mm-hmm. You know, like He loves his motorbike. I hate motorbikes, but I honour his need to do that. And, you know, it works for us.
Yeah. Yes, I think I've been better at that lately than probably I've been during my lifetime at honouring the other person's space, honouring who they are. And definitely I'm getting better at saying no.
Oh, fantastic.
Now, people can contact you at beyondtheordinary@internode.on.net.
That's the one.
beyondtheordinary@internode.on.net.
Lovely.
So, and I'm sure people would be interested in your goddess workshops and your sacred masculine workshops. It's fantastic the difference that you've made in people's lives over such a long period of time. Ian McCann, it's just always such a pleasure to talk to you.
You too, Robin. You do a fantastic job sharing your gifts with the world and your beautiful voice, and it's always a joy to talk to you. So thank you so much.
Absolute pleasure. Now, you can contact me on www.robinmills.com.au. I'm here today on the Radio Network of The Difference, which is just an amazing group of people who are come together to open humanity's heart, one heart at a time. And I, for one, am really glad that I stepped into The Difference. So bye for now, Diane. Many blessings to you. Have a fantastic day.
Infinite love and gratitude to you and all the listeners, Robin. Thank you.
Thank you, and until we meet again, may your heart beat to the rhythm of humanity's heart.
If you would like to share your inspiration, love and experience and be part of a global collaboration making the difference to over 6 billion people, join us now. www.thedifference.tv.
And until we meet again, may you continue opening your heart and live your difference.